listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Lee Ellis of The Athletic joining us on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We love talking to Lee Ellis. I hope he likes talking to us. I'm assuming you do because you come on when we ask you. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Always happy to talk basketball with anybody, really. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so we passed the All-Star break, and now we're kind of into the second half of the season. Lee, right now, when you look at the Eastern Conference, and we know how Brooklyn is loaded and Philadelphia is too, and Milwaukee's got Giannis, but the middle pack, the Knicks, am I believing in them? Atlanta, Miami, who made the conference finals, the middle of the East, is it worthy of our attention?
Well, I mean, the teams like the Hawks and the Knicks, and even the Hornets, I mean, they should make the playoffs from here. I think that's where we're looking at for those teams. I don't think any of them are seriously contenders, certainly when you name those top three or four teams there in the Eastern Conference. I don't think anyone's going to beat those. But it would still mark significant progress for both franchises, particularly the New York Knicks, who we know is, you know, one of the sort of marquee glamour franchises of the league, but they've been a laughing stock for years. And right now, I mean, they're only 500 right now, but that is just a significant improvement from where they've been over these last few years. So I think for them, it's all about the, you know, I mean, I know Philadelphia's got the process, but that's really what it is for the Knicks, is getting back on track and not sacrificing the future by giving up draft assets and draft capital to get that veteran who might come in and bump a few more wins up to your total, but you don't really make any progress. Instead, the Knicks have tried to be disciplined and hold on to all their draft picks going forward, and I think that's a sign, a good sign for them. And you're seeing that Tom Thibodeau, who tends to have an immediate impact on teams when he arrives, that's also becoming a factor for the Knicks. Now, the knock on Tibbs is, of course, he's such a hard disciplinarian, sort of old-school coach, that message tends to wear off fairly quickly. So you might only have two or three seasons here before Tibbs doesn't have that same impact. But right now, it is working. And that, again, is progress here for the Knicks. So I think that's really important here. And, of course, they've got, you know, their draft pick, Emmanuel Quickley, he's starting to look pretty good out there. RJ Barrett, who's in his second season, he's looking as well like he's coming along. And, of course, Julius Randle made the All-Star team this year. He's probably going to win, or certainly in contention for most improved player. So they've got some pieces finally that you can look at with the Knicks and think that, you know, this is certainly a better season than they've had in the last, you know, 5 to 6 years, where they've basically been out of the playoffs and been a joke of a franchise, you know, before we've even gotten to Christmas. So this year, certainly progress is being made.
All right, let's talk about Philadelphia and Doc Rivers and what some changes. How different is this Philadelphia team this year compared to last year?
Well, I definitely think this is the best version of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid that we've seen. And I think largely Doc Rivers should get a lot of credit for that, because Brett Brown, when he was there in Philadelphia, didn't really seem to figure out a way to unlock that offensive powerhouse that those two players provide. Now, they're different players, of course. In fact, it's kind of flipped. You usually want your big guy down low in the post doing his work, but Joel Embiid, we know, used to like to step out and shoot those threes. He didn't shoot them all that well. And I think Doc Rivers has kind of said to him, like, you know, you're a big, strong guy. Get down in the paint and throw your weight around. And he's been doing that. He's obviously injured right now, but when he's been playing, he's been doing a lot more of that. And Ben Simmons just seems to have understood, like, there are other ways you can still score the ball and be effective without having to rely on that three-point shot, because we know that, you know, that still hasn't developed or evolved at all. Ben Simmons' numbers are, you know, more or less the same where they've been the last couple of seasons, but they're playing in a different style. And again, when they have Simmons and Embiid on the court, and when you've got guys like Danny Green, the veteran, and Seth Curry out there, those sort of three-point shooters really do open up the floor better than the Sixers have had in the past. So they're looking good. I mean, the big question with Joel Embiid is how quickly he can come back from that knee injury that he suffered. It looked like a nasty injury. Fortunately, it was only a bone bruise, but we know he's a guy who has been injury prone so far early in his career. And when you're a big guy like that, a big heavy guy, you just know that it could take a little bit longer to recover. But he has got time here still. And when he was playing this season, I mean, he was depending on which bookmaker you went to, he was either the favorite or second or third favorite to win MVP. So if he can come back quickly and return to that level of play, then the Sixers are a much more likely chance to get sort of to the conference finals than they have done in either of the previous two or three seasons.
in the West, it's kind of been a slow development, but they've been good all season, so it's not a shocking surprise. But Utah being on top and having the best record in the league, is it surprising? I mean, they've got great players, but the top Western Conference team, is that a surprising outcome so far?
Yeah, I mean, considering how things ended for them down in the bubble, they could have gone one of two ways, that franchise. They could have said, well, this is an embarrassment. You know, let's fire the coach. And then, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, they're two star players. Apparently, there's some friction there. And they could have said, okay, we're going to trade one of these guys. They gave Donovan Mitchell the big contract, and then they gave Rudy the even bigger contract, the five-year, $205 million. And it was like, to me, the franchise looked and said, listen, we believe in the talent. We believe in the coach. Obviously, things didn't work out for us down in Orlando. You know, we had a 3-1 lead, and we lost it. But let's run it back, and let's see, you know, what these guys can do when they've had another chance to work together on their issues and come back next season. And that's really what's worked. That continuity is so important because they play about 9 guys, the Jazz, but everyone out on the court, apart from Favors and Gobert, shoot that 3-pointer. And they all shoot it pretty well, too. So, you know, their identity is pretty clear. They defend the 3 well, they shoot the 3 well, and then they've got Rudy protecting the paint anyway if their guys get beaten on the perimeter. So they've got a really good formula and a good format. And I just think that that trust and that faith that the front office showed in everybody there and not reacting to what happened down in Orlando is starting to pay off. And I think you're seeing that because guys are like, you know, normally in sports, especially in basketball, the easiest thing to do is just fire the coach, especially a coach who's been there for a few years. You know, it wasn't Quinn Snyder's first or second season. So that would have been the easy option. But instead, the franchise did what usually doesn't happen, and that is they stayed pat, and instead they said, listen, we believe this is the right team, this is the right chemistry, we've got good players, we've got veterans, we've got leaders, and now you're starting to see that because they play so well together on the court no matter what the combination is. That ball moves around to everybody. Everybody knows they're going to get their chance to shoot and to score, and I think that's really why they're in the position they're in now where they do have, you know, the best record. They've cooled off a little bit when they went on that road trip there, you know, losing to the Wizards. But, you know, that over the course of a long season, that you're going to have a few of those games where you just kind of just stink it up. But overall, the Jazz right now, they are looking a lot more convincing than they were last season when they went on a big winning streak. I think they won 15 in a row last season. But they beat up on a lot of bad teams. Right now, overall, their record and the way they're playing, you know, at home, they're 16-2 at home. You know, that's a very, very hard place to win there in Utah. And on the road, 15-9. So they're still looking pretty good. As long as, like with everybody, you don't get injuries, everyone stays healthy, you're going to be in a much stronger position come playoff time.
The Phoenix Suns, people liked what they were doing and liked what they were developing with Devin Booker. How has Chris Paul integrated himself with a team that does lead the Pacific Division over a Clippers and Lakers team?
Yeah, well, that one to me is probably more of a surprise because we know Chris Paul had an impact down there in Oklahoma City last season. And coming to Phoenix, it was like the Phoenix, almost that desperation move by the franchise because they wanted to get into the playoffs. You know, Devin Booker in his 5 seasons had never won more than 31 games or something. So it was like we just are desperate to improve here. So they take the flyer on the veteran Chris Paul, who's an outstanding player. But to have them at 29-13 right now is so much more than they could have hoped for. I think they were just hoping to be, you know, kind of like those teams like the Hawks and the Knicks we talked about in the Eastern Conference. Let's just get to the playoffs. Whereas right now, the Suns, I would say their goal, their primary goal would be home court advantage for at least the first round, maybe even the second round right now for playoffs. And if they can do that, that will signify just an incredible improvement. And Chris Paul, I mean, the MVP race is so wide open this season, more open than we've seen it in years gone by, when Giannis has kind of been the early favourite and he's kind of run out the clock all season long. Well, right now, I think, you know, Nikola Jokic is there. I think Embiid, as I mentioned earlier, if he can come back and return to his form, I think Giannis is a chance for his third. I think LeBron, again, depending on how long he's out and what happens when he comes back with the Lakers, is a chance. Damian Lillard's a chance. And I think you've got to throw Chris Paul in there too. I mean, if the Suns finish with the second best or, you know, best record in the NBA, I think it's going to be impossible to not keep Chris Paul's name out of that conversation. So this is great because in years gone by, as I mentioned, we've had Giannis kind of win it early on and then James Harden won it and Westbrook when he had that crazy triple-double season where he averaged 30 points. And, you know, before that was Steph Curry. The races weren't close. There was always like one guy as a favorite, whereas this season, you know, it's almost moving, you know, week to week here who becomes a favorite due to various conditions, you know, winning, losing, of course, but then than some of the injuries that these guys are suffering. So this is fascinating and fantastic for Phoenix to be in a position where, you know, they're just in a, such a much stronger position.
I was curious about that because last year when we were talking about teams going into the bubble and what the bubble would be like and who would want to be in the bubble, and I thought, well, if you get in there and you have a real outside chance, would you play hard or would you just want to get out of there and go back to your family? Phoenix showed up to play. They just didn't get in, but they I think that's where the attention was, where everyone was like, I didn't pay attention to Phoenix until they were winning every game in Orlando.
Yeah, and a couple of times they got lucky, but they had that big one where Devin Booker hit the game winner over the Clippers. Yep. I think that's probably the one that stands out to most people because that was a legit win by a team that had no real business even being in the bubble, trying to force their way into that play-in game, and they nearly did it, which was great. And I think, again, you know, we all looked at that and thought, well, it's the bubble. What's going to happen next season? Well, they go out and they swing for the fences and they land Chris Paul, and it is paying off right now, and that's what's great. So, you know, again, if you look at someone like Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, and we only have to look at what happened with Anthony Davis, and he's not the only superstar to do it, but if the team is continually in that rebuilding mode, unable to sort of make any progress, then the stars after a while just like, screw this, I want out. You know, I want to go somewhere else and play. And that's where I think the Phoenix Suns were probably heading with Devin Booker. And, you know, and thinking like at some point, Devin Booker is going to be like, I want out. I want out of Phoenix because the franchise is incapable of building a strong team around me. And now they go out, as I say, they get the veteran. They get the Chris Paul guy who's not a long-term prospect there with them, but he can maybe in his short time there, if he's there a season or two, at least impart his knowledge and experience onto Devin Booker, who can then, as he enters his peak and prime years, take the team to that next step. And that's really what I think is important here. And they're, again, they're ahead of schedule, if you ask me right now, at 29-13. This is better than it could have been. And you know, another great win there last night down in Miami. So things are going pretty well for Phoenix, which is not something we've said a lot over the last sort of 5 to 10 years.
Lee Ellis again, No Dunks Podcast with The Athletic on the NBA. We love talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll catch up soon.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Lee Ellis again from The Athletic. Good stuff. He's right about Phoenix. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to see the NBA standings in the West, right? Because there's Utah and there's Phoenix. And the Jazz, like I said, it was brewing. You felt like, you know, Utah was building something. 31-11, though. I mean, leading the conference. Yeah, that's probably not an expectation. But Phoenix, that was the team last year. Ron and I kept saying, God, this team really is showing up to play. They really are trying to get into the play-in game. Like, they're not, let me get out of this thing. I don't want to be here. Tests every day inside my hotel room.
No, they were that annoying little cousin or little brother that just wanted to hang out with you. Like, no, we don't want to hang out with you.
I don't want to change the deck of cards every time I play. I want to go home. They said, no, we're here. Let's. The odds are against us. Let's just play lights out as best we can. And they almost pulled it off just squeaking into the postseason. And then they turned it into they're the second best team in the Western Conference. It's fun to look at it, though, when you think about it, because remember we talked about Denver and we're like, the Nuggets, they're this team. Jokic is the star, but they got this great team, but they're not quite Clippers good. They're not quite Lakers. Now they're not even Jazz, Phoenix, Clippers, Lakers good. Like, you better take your shot in the West when you can get it, because you do not know what tomorrow's new, better team is going to be in that. One day, Damian Lillard is going to have a great team around him in Portland, and they're going to be the top team in the West. God, I hope, because I like Dame time. I want more Dame time. All right, as we continue along, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.